We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Thank you, Pastor. Can we appreciate Pastor Friday? Thank you for beginning this series. It's not easy to start. And it's a series that will take us a while. You know, just looking at it, I was not even thinking about it, that this thing, well, it's basic, but it is very... It's a basic foundation, but it's very important. And one of the reasons why the Lord laid this burden, it was in me and my wife's heart. We just began to look back and how Christianity was. I mean, the Christianity I met as a teenager. And I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the gaps. Now, the advantages, no doubt, if I look at it from the fact that there's more understanding, more light than we had when we were young and growing up in the faith. And I thank the Lord for more understanding. However, I now found out that there was more discipline that we had. So we had more discipline, all right? And we didn't have so much understanding like is available now. But that discipline, let me not even use the word discipline alone. Let me use the word culture. So because of that, there were many things that you could trap and learn that will make you have a very strong walk with the Lord. And I found out that now we have a lot of generation now, particularly now. I'm looking within. I'm not even looking at the body of Christ right now. I don't want to go into the body of Christ. For this teaching is for us, right? I noticed that we have more light, but because the culture of communion is not fundamentally strong, then we now have an issue that people know so much, but the conversation is less. Much input, less output. And so it's still going to still be the same thing. I think it's even worse. Because now you know so much, but it's been betrayed in your daily conversation. So I knew that we had to do something about that. Of course, we have been doing that for a while. And that we have to strengthen the understanding of your personal fellowship with the Lord. I learned that growing up in the faith, that you are strong as your quiet time. Now, I don't want to limit it to quiet time. Let me reframe that and say you are strong as your personal walk with the Lord. Can we all say that? Let's say that again. That does not in any way discredit church life, okay, or brethren life. We have a lot of people that have discredited that in the bid of trying to strengthen. That's not balanced. In the bid of strengthening personal work with the Lord, they play down on commitment to church life. That's also part of it. Now, commitment to church life is also very, we need to also define it. Because for me, I've been waiting on that too. Because I don't want people to be doing activity. Too much activity. You are just doing this, you are doing that. You know, you are just doing many things. You carry camera, you sweep floor, you do all those things. I don't say they are bad. But at the end of the day, you say you are committed to church life. And that is what you are using as yardstick. Now, I'm not playing down that because people have to do that. But I'm saying that when I mean church life, I'm talking about commitment to fellowship with the Word, fellowship with the Spirit, amidst the brethren, the brotherhood, okay? Commitment to the authority of Christ over your assembly, through your leadership. So we have to also define that. We'll do that in this teaching so that we can consolidate it very well, all right? We have Christianity today that is so outward. It's too outward, too external. A lot of things are happening. In fact, it's too loud. And so much activity is not going on the inside. So a lot of things we'll be receiving from this message is to correct a lot of abnormalities concerning our personal walk with the Lord. Can we all say amen? Amen. And I want to admonish us, please, be intentional about making corrections as this word is coming out, because it is going to apply to all of us. myself inclusive, I have not known the Lord that like I should. So there are still adjustments I must make. You know, when we are using the example of God at times giving us pressure for us to be able to place demand in, you know, communion with Him, it's very true. And that is true for all of us. At times, you know, you will not place demand on your communion with the Lord except you come into a very, very tight corner. You know that there's no way out. That the Lord must speak. You don't understand? Maybe they give you, they're about sacking you, you're about losing billions of naira in a project, something very terrible. I remember there was a time that happened to me. That my blue car, when I just bought it, you know, the car was almost going. I went to minister in Adeokiti. I was coming back in 2017 or 18, I can't remember. Then customs, you know, met me on the road. And I felt that the paper was there. Of course, I knew that I had custom papers. So I was confidently, I checked for my custom papers. I did not see it. That was number one problem. So I told them, I said, I have it, but it's not here. They said, oh, God, produce this thing. I said, I have it. I'm a minister of the gospel. I said, they did not agree. They held me. So and I said, okay, let me call home. At least it should be at home. Somebody can snap it. I said, they checked and checked and checked. They didn't see it at home. So as those guys, they were waiting with hunger. Because I told them, I said, I have it. After a while, I became humble. I started begging. Because I didn't know, I knew I had the paper, but where is the paper? No proofs that I had the paper. So they caught us at that junction that links you, when you are living at Adot, you want to connect Elisha. That Elisha Akure Road. So that's where they called me. They drove my car to Akure that day. It was me and AY. AY was the one that drove me then. We went to Akure and they impounded the car. So as we left the car there, somebody now told us that, okay, as this car entered this place, it's not coming out. You know the way customs are. If I, when I got there, I saw cars, fine cars. I saw people crying, particularly those that didn't have custom papers. Some that I've told them that they should come and clear it with a money that is even more than the car. So you just forget the car. So I remember then I had to take transport from Akure to Ibadan. I was just boarding. That was exactly is this. Okay, so we got home. And so I now called the brother that, you know, is my friend that, you know, gave us the car. The car was like a gift. I said, what can we do to this thing? You know, at least they cleared the car. Apparently, he used the car for a while. So I said, you cleared the car. Can't we have something like a photocopy or something? He said, there's nothing. He tried and tried and tried and tried. He labored. He could get nothing as a proof that that car was cleared. Okay? What now happened? I think I was supposed to. That happened on the Thursday or so. Even going to Mimico was because I had paper eventually. Because I think I called Mimico and Mimico tried and he said, Sir Pastor, they're going to take this car. He said, what they do is that they just do auction. Say somebody can buy it for 200,000, 150,000. Anyway, so at a particular point when we searched the whole house and I was under pressure, you know the first thing that occurred to me, I never thought of the Lord. I never thought of the Lord. In all this, I never thought of the Lord. I just felt that we searched, we did not see it everywhere. You know, my friend said, but this papers is part of the papers. And I said, yes, I know it is blue. But we could find it nowhere. So I entered the room. Then I was still living in Aino Adefolayo in my room. You know, and it's good to have a culture. That's my own secret place. You know, there's the environment. That's why I pray. I pray in my room. So I just retired and I started praying. And I said, Lord, where is this paper? Where is this paper? I remember I said, the Lord. As I sat there, I just saw a vision that I should tell you. Ask Friday. Then it used to be the one to keep all my documents. I said, ask. I just saw a vision that the solution was Friday. I said, so I was wondering that, how would the Lord tell me the solution is ready? Is it the paper? The Lord told me, said, just ask Friday. So I now called him. Meanwhile, I've told Pastor Friday before, check. He has checked and checked and checked and checked. Apparently, he saw the document. He didn't know what it was. So and I said, check. So he said, call Friday. So I said, Friday, come. So he said, the Lord said, I didn't say to the Lord, I said, bring all the papers with you. Let's check again. So as we were checking, he said, it's not there. That is not there. All of a sudden, one blue document just said, this is it. I shouted, I said, this is it. I said, this is what we have been looking for. If you know how we look for that document. And it was in the house. So I remember, my car slept there for about 3 days. When I was now going there on Monday, I was going with confidence. Even before I collected my car, even with document, I went there with confidence. And as somebody said, Oga, God has helped you. Because the car was still very fresh then. Said, this is a fresh car. So I learned a lesson that time. Because if I was not put under pressure, I wouldn't have said, God, help me out. I would have been using my strength. Honestly, that document would be in that house. And they would take the car. They would take the car. So, but you know, one thing I learned was that it was easy for me to ask the Lord because I'd cultured a kind of fellowship with the Lord. So you can have a culture that you, at times, you know, and this is our problem. We go in and out, in and out. All right. I don't know if we have a word for that. Is there a word? Okay, Pastor. Let me just take that.
Well, I'm speaking to you to learn to stay in my presence. Learn to stay in my presence. For there are many things. There are many burdens. There are many things. There are many things that are in the world that wants to take you away. Take you out. But master how to stay. Master how to stay. For in staying, answers will come. In staying, yeah. Answers will come. In staying, directions will come.
Yeah.
For you, that direction that you desire, that answer that you desire, that counsel that you desire, that you are waiting for, that you want, it's as you stay waiting in my presence, as you stay waiting the whole day, waiting, not going out. That's how I'll be able to speak. If I want to also check you, I want to check your heart. What do you really, really want? Do you want that thing, or you just want, or you want me? For it's even hard for you to want me. It's all for you to want me. I'm training you, even with those things, for you to come closer to me. So I want you to learn how to come closer to me. I want you to learn how to come closer to me. I want to draw you more closer to myself. For that's the intention. For it's a place where I will culture. Culture a bond between you and I, a secret bond. I want to have a secret bond between you and I. Amen. I want to have a secret bond where I can share my things with you.
Amen.
And where you can share your things freely as a child, even with me. For that's what I desire. Come, learn how to stay in my presence, saith the Lord.
Can we all say amen to that? So the first thing I'll say in addition to what Pastor has taught us is that communion actually... The root word for communion, one of the things it means is intercourse. I prefer using that word. It means many things. It means fellowship. But one of the things that communion means is intercourse. You can call it intercourse with the Lord. Intercourse. Because it's more of a... Communion is more of an art than a science. Not does not mean science is bad. Because science gives you the theory of something. But communion is more of an art with the Lord. Okay, that's why I use the word intercourse. Because intercourse is actually an art. There's a science to it. The science is all the lessons you learn. But when you enter into intercourse, you know, between a man and a woman, it is more of an art. It is a knowing, an art-to-art connection. So our fellowship with the Lord, our communion with the Lord is an intercourse. And I like the word intercourse because the end of intercourse is to bring forth what? Just like the end of intercourse is to bring forth what? A child. Oh, yeah. Okay? So the end of intercourse with the Lord is to produce his image in us. Amen. That's the end of intercourse. So communion with the Lord has an end. The end is that you come to inherit the Lord's image. You come to know the Lord as life. So, and I need to say this for starters. All of the doctrines of the New Testament, they can only be vehicled through communion. Yes. All of the doctrine. So there is no way you can become like Christ if there is no communion ethics or communion vehicle, you will know Christ as knowledge, but not as an experience or life. All right? In fact, you know, Paul said somewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Now, that word knowledge that he used there, because there are different words for knowledge in Scripture. You know, you have epignosis, which is complete and exact knowledge. You have, you know, you have ginosko. You have different words, but this one is gnosis. Gnosis. And it means general knowledge. It means, one of the things gnosis means, it means general knowledge. Okay, it means general intelligence, general knowledge of the Christian religion. It means moral wisdom. Okay, so it means you can have general knowledge and not know the Lord. You can have knowledge and you don't have knowing. There are two different things. You can have knowledge, but you don't know the Lord. Now, that does not mean that knowledge is a disadvantage. It is not. Knowledge is the theory of knowing God. So it is leverage. It ought to be leverage. However, it doesn't just work like that, that you can have a theory of something and never experiment it. That's just that with man. All right? It's just like we, you know, some of you that are science teachers, you know, you have theories, many, many things that we know that we have never practicalized in a lab before. All right? But you know it in your head. But you know, have you ever thought about it? If you're a lab person, you work in the lab as a scientist or whatever. Whatever you read in the book and then you practice in the lab, what do you think? The difference is 1 to 1,000. The difference is too much. Because whatever you do, I remember in those times, we had a very good chemistry teacher while I was in school. Even the dullest student had A3. Yes. And I remember one of my friends that, you know, because I was one of the best in chemistry in my set. Those were my, chemistry and biology were my strengths. So he was telling me, during mock, that he knows he will fail. I said he will not fail that. He should know that Mr. Musa is doing a lot. I should just pay attention to some of the last tutorials that he teaches us. We had almost 95% success in chemistry because of the way he taught us. The class was so exciting, very full of life. Then he made sure that we did practical for almost everything. Many of those practicals he sponsored with his money. Today is the DG of LASMA in Lagos. Yes, Mr. Musa, if you know the DG of LASMA in Lagos, he was my chemistry teacher. He was so good that I remember I did saponification so much that I knew it at the back of my hands. I did so much. So I know the difference between having theory of something and doing it. That is exactly the same thing with knowledge, having knowledge of something and experiencing it as life. So for many of us, that's our challenge, okay? And the Lord wants us to come into experiencing many things that has come to you first as information or knowledge. Can we all say amen? Amen? Now, one of the major challenges that we are facing today, you know, we live in a very busy world. Like Pastor also has said again to remind us, we live in a very fast world. Everything is busy. And then we live in a world that is now has leveraged so much on technology. And that has changed even our perception to life. Now, I will not say that is bad. It has its advantages, okay? But it has its, it probably, I think it has more disadvantages to the human soul. Now, things are done faster. Okay, you have microwave, you microwave food. You don't have to stress yourself too much. You have so many things that makes things very fast. You have smartphones. On your smartphones, there is AI, very small level, basic AI. That even teaches you, it frames your English for you. You know, when you're on your phone and you need to search for something, maybe things you have searched a couple of times, by the time you type it, it looks for it for you. I mean, who doesn't like that? But, you know, like I said, that there are going to be side effects of artificial intelligence. Yes, we should tell ourselves the truth, except you are not a prophetic person. The side effects is that we'll be somewhat dull of ability to do things ourselves. And what is going to first produce is that it's going to affect our health, both mental health and physical health. Because you live longer when you exercise both your mind and your body. Abroad today, they have robotics. Robots that clean the house. Very soon, the technology will become cheap. and people will do it. Gen Zs will do that. They don't like our sculptures. So once they have money, they're going to do, they'll get robots. And of course, it's getting more and more difficult to employ people as maids. Things are changing, you know. So you are looking at it. So a lot of people opt out for AI. Imagine having a robot to do everything you can do. If you have the money, a lot of people will do it. So I'm looking at the fact that now fast world has dulled our perception of things like communion, because communion is not fast. What did I say? Now, even knowing the Lord is not fast. You don't know the Lord fast. So what he's going to do is that it's affecting our perception of God's ways. Because when to know God, it takes time and it's over a period of time. Let me say that again. To know the Lord, it takes time and then over a period of time. Apparently, you don't have all the time. You can't use 24 hours. And that's another problem for a lot of school of thought. I am not of the school of thought. Spend 24 hours in God's presence. I'm not in that school of thought. I'm sorry to say, if that damaged your theology. The problem with that is that is not sustainable. Yes, sir. On the long term. Okay? When you marry, so that's why all of those, some I've heard one prophet say this. He said that that God was the one that broke his marriage. And that God is jealous. That if you're having fellowship with the Lord, he will not tell you to stop and go and meet your wife. I heard it online. I don't know the prophet. He said that when Moses went to fellowship with the Lord, that Moses did not plan, he used 40 days. That's how God is. That God does not send if you have a wife and all that. He was using that as a premise. I think he had a bad marriage. He used that as a premise of why his marriage got bad. So there's always a balance. The Lord is the most thoughtful person that you can think of. Please, let's put that balance there. The Lord is thoughtful. The Lord knows you have a wife. The Lord knows you have children. The Lord knows that you have things to do. And that's why communion is a steady thing over a period of time. You cannot, it's just like, you know, somebody that wants to, it's as if you want to get everything of communion in one day. It doesn't work that way. Just like you cannot lose fat. Eh? Like that. If you lose fat, for instance, by an instantaneous means, the problem is that you may gain it back. A lot of people are looking for instant formula to lose their fat. A lot of people have gotten into problems that way. So the best way to lose fat is a steady process. Because you gain the fat steadily. You want to lose it instantaneously. It does not work. To know the Lord is a steady process. Can we all say that? So I always say that 15 minutes with grace is better for 10 hours with strength. 15 minutes with grace and you consistently continue over a period of time and it's increasing every day. Because we have to give you practicals of how to start. The reason why some people don't start is that they think communion with the Lord is hard. But it's not hard. So I start, let's say 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, and I can sustain that for over a period of time. And for me, that has worked. Okay? I know it's easy for me to move from 2 to 3 hours if I've sustained 2 hours. Then I can add 1 hour to it. It's like that for every aspect of your life. If you have been reading consistently for 2 hours, it's easier to top it up to 3 than for you to move from 0 to 3 hours. Even if you do it, I can bet you in 3 weeks, in 4 weeks, in 5 weeks, you'll not be able to sustain it. So communion with the Lord is more of what? A daily thing that can be sustained. It's taking those little steps gradually, getting better, knowing the Lord, giving him time, consistently. I can say consistently. Like, for instance, like Pastor said, and we must have that. Let the Lord know even your own schedule. The Lord can know your schedule and keep appointment with you. The Lord is that disciplined. So every day, there are times that this is when you pray. That thing is a good culture for knowing the Lord. If possible, the time and the place is what? Is the same. If possible. I'm not yielding a pattern at that, but I'm showing you. I'm teaching more from experience. That the Lord knows that you always meet, you meet him here at this time. And not just time, place. What I know about it is that any place that I have fellowship with the Lord over a period of time, place, so that place has presence. Even the place, it has presence. I remember when I was living in our first house, you know, in Aretedo. Then my prayer place was in the city room. That's when I prayed. I left the room, I prayed in the city room. I did that for years in that house. Then we started church in that house. I remember one of my friends, you know, he's an old friend now. We're not really that close. You know, he came from Lagos to pass the night in my house because he was going for a wedding. So he had a lot of long argument with his wife. In fact, I met him in the car and tried to, you know, resolve what was going through. So he got angry. So the wife went to sleep in the room. He said he would sleep in the city room. So he slept on the exact couch I normally pray. I'm telling you this. He woke up in the morning, he had an encounter. You know what he told me? He said, "What do you do here?" He said, "He saw the Lord." I said, "This is where we pray." Those things are real. You know, it's good that we say this because new generation, they know this. It's beyond Shabai in tongues. It's beyond that. It's keeping a culture of the Lord that is predictable. I heard that he had able to do prayer work every morning. And that man will have a prayer route. He will have a prayer route. If you do prayer work, you cannot be changing it by the Spirit. There will be a prayer route. You see, that prayer route is not going to be an ordinary. You will be shocked that if somebody follows that prayer route, he may have an encounter. He may have an encounter. So there's also a spiritual theory around that. That when you pray regularly, when you pray regularly, it's not an ordinary place. Somebody can carry anointing in that place. So it's a wisdom to have a fixed time of fellowship because I'm teaching you how to start. A time can come where the Lord will now move you beyond that because you have mastered a way with Him. But I'm talking for starters, you must have that. And that is what our fathers taught us, that today, the thing has been dissolved. That's why we have prayer platforms. And I'm not insulting anybody's ministry. That is why prayer ministries are selling today. They are selling at the expense of the personal communion the saint has. It's at the expense of something. I personally don't envy it. I'm not saying those ministers are bad ministers. Personally, to me, it's doing more damage to the body of Christ on the long run. Because we have a whole lot of Christians that are just waiting to say amen online. They don't know what it means to, they don't have what I call protocols of ascension. Which were the things we were taught while growing up in the faith? We were taught how to hear God's voice, how to pray, how to have a fixed time of prayer. There was no way. So the average Christian in the 80s and early 90s had a personal walk with the Lord. I can tell you that. That one was there. You hear people say the Lord this, the Lord that. And that's why, you know, maybe you hear someone like Mommy Ellen. If you approach her and say, "The Lord says something," she will say, "Listen to the Lord." The reason why she's saying so, she knew her own walk with the Lord. It was a common thing. How people were led. How the Lord told them things concerning their career, where they live, the churches that they go. Even the houses that you go and rent. Someone said, "Pastors have to go and be checking people's house." I don't believe in that one. And I'm not going to do that. Believe me. That's not part of pastoral assignment. We are equipers. We are not supposed to lead you. Now, let me say that. Pastors are to equip, teach, and have oversight. It is the Holy Ghost that leads the saints. Amen. If not, a pastor will be doing everything for you. You want to get house, you go and check the house. Is it good house for you? Why should I be doing that? I don't understand that one. I don't understand the theory about that one. Oversight is different from leading. Oversight is oversight. It's to have oversight. It's just more like something is growing under your sight. But Holy Ghost has to lead men under oversight. There are two different things. Once we are pressured to start doing what you should not do as pastors, we return the church back to 50 years, 60 years ago. And because the saints are not willing to develop their own spiritual muscles to know what the Lord is saying. So I can say this to the leaders. When the saints come and meet you, ask them first, what is the Lord saying? And if you are not convinced, because me, I know when the Lord, because you see, how you know? You will know. As a pastor, you know that this is leading. If you are not sure, tell them to wait. And that is where a lot of people have issues with me. But what I'm doing is for us to, is for safety. And let's wait. Number one, you are not sure. At times I can be sure. At times I'm not also too sure. Because I want to be sure and accurate. So let's say, let's wait. That's the problem you have. You don't want to wait. Because but when you look at something that you call leading, it must smell like leading. That you can sense leading. This one is God's hand. And you know that this one is not God's hand. This boy is trying to manifest leading. This one is trying to manifest something. It's not God. So, and that means you have to pay the price for staying in God's presence, praying every day, waiting on scriptures, waiting on sound doctrine. You have that advantage, and that should create an atmosphere of fellowship with you. Let me say this in closing. It is sound doctrine that shapes communion. Let me say that again. It is sound doctrine that shapes communion. So, doctrine precedes communion. Can we all say that? I can hear you. That's the right order. In the realm of the Spirit, there's a right order. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, and they gave themselves steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine and to fellowship. First to apostles' doctrine and to fellowship. But that there's an healthy balance between sound doctrine or scriptures and fellowship. Now, doctrine should precede fellowship, meaning doctrine should shape your experience with God. Doctrine gives you the right boundaries to have experience and encounter with God that is real. Okay? Now, if you have communion, if there's any way of having communion without sound doctrine, this is what is going to lead to eventually. It will lead to a soulish experience. Soulish, I call it soulish. It will just be an emotional relationship. You see, a lot of people, they have emotional relationship with the Lord. They can cry in worship. But the Lord, they have never done anything the Lord told them to do. I used to know until I started fellowship because I was not so much of me. I don't really cry. But I started crying much later. I don't really cry. So I felt that if people cry, it means they love the Lord. I started meeting all kind of people, they cry. They don't do anything. They was going around up and down crying. The Lord is not moved by your cry, sir. The Lord is moved by obedience. That's your sacrifice. Obey the Lord. Stop crying up and down. I'm not saying don't cry. If you know that after your cry, you will do the Lord's will. I don't have a problem with your crying. But after the Lord, it's just like Peter when he says, not so, Lord. He said, not so, and he put Lord there. So if it's Lord, why is it not so? If the Lord, you don't know what Lord means. Lord means master and owner. So I'm saying not so, my owner. That does not go. So doctrine must shape your communion experience. If your communion experience is not with sound doctrine, let me also break it down good with scripture. It also includes scripture. All right? It can end up being an emotional experience and very soulish. So I have met a lot of young Christians. They always talk about Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I was interested in that because I was wondering, this person has a relationship with the Holy Spirit so much. By the time I moved close, I was wondering, no, Holy Spirit does not do this. Holy Spirit does not tell people to do this. So I knew that many of those people did not have understanding or doctrine. So it was not the Holy Spirit leading them. It was, I call it personal Holy Spirit. Actually, it's a kind of flesh that mimics the Holy Ghost. You need to know this one because this one is free of charge from experience. Personal flesh that mimics the Holy Ghost. So just having understanding of sound doctrine deals with that. Have you ever met somebody say Holy Ghost? I say, no, Holy Ghost does not do like this, sir. Holy Ghost does not break scripture. Holy Ghost does not counter doctrine. Holy Ghost is not rebellious. Holy Ghost is not rebellious. Right? This is not Holy Spirit. It is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not lead you against the fruit of the Spirit. fruit of the Holy Spirit is, those are the things that come out when the Lord is working, Holy Ghost is working in you. And, but this one is not inconsistent with this fruit, so we can check that. Can we say amen? Now, let me now give you the other one and round it up on this. Now, when you now have doctrine or scripture that does not lead you to communion, you know what's going to be? You'll be religious or lethargic or legalistic. So you'll be very, you will know the Lord by principle, but you'll not know his ways. So the time the Lord chooses to come in a way you can never know. And for all of us, we can be guilty of that. Because you now have a stronghold. That's why some churches can kick away some move of the Spirit. They say, no, the Lord does not speak in tongues. I was surprised when I told him about the fact that some major ministers, they don't speak in tongues. He said, what? I said, yes, because their doctrine does not permit that. So, but, you know, interestingly, it is in the Word. That's why the Word is not letter, it's Spirit. It's in the Word. But there's just a belief, sorry, sir, that the experience of speaking in tongues, for instance, has gone with the first century church. So it is not. Meanwhile, they said in Acts chapter 2, he said, this thing is for you and your children's children. She won't read any. So, but I believe that no, it's gone. No, stop speaking in tongues anymore, it's gone. So it is possible to have knowledge, to have doctrine, and not have communion. And that is even more dangerous. What we mean is that you will not know the Lord. Even Peter, you know, Pastor was talking about the fact that Peter, God came to him in a pattern of threes, which is very accurate. Peter still struggled in Acts chapter 10. Peter still struggled. The Lord appeared to him thrice, and he still did not agree. He did not agree. Oh. He went with them, but the stronghold remained. He said, not so, Lord, three times. If he had said not so twice, and he thought that he said, I agree, it is the Lord. He did not say, not so, Lord. I'm not eating wild animal. I know. And it was the problem with Peter was that it had a doctrinal stronghold. Jews don't take wild animals. So the Lord has not touched that system of belief. That's why it's difficult. This is it. At times the Lord can appear in an encounter, and that disturbs your system of unbelief or belief. At times it's always difficult. The encounter may be real, but that's your belief system. It still affects it. That's why somebody can hear a word that they know is true, but it still has not changed their belief system. They will still over time fall back into that thing. So eventually, Peter could not be an apostle to Gentiles. He could not. Even though we say that Paul is an apostle to Gentiles, Peter is an apostle to Jews. That was the last time Peter reached a Gentile. It would have been difficult for him to consist them because the stronghold will have to be removed first. That map of reality that says that Gentiles cannot have move of the Spirit. Interestingly, the Gentiles, when they got the Holy Spirit, they got it instantly. They got born again, they were filled with the Spirit there instantly. That was not even the experience that the Jews had. It was not that potent. So I'm saying this, that on doctrine must lead to knowing him. That is when it's profitable. I don't know if I'm making any sense. All right? It's not good to be lethargic. To be lethargic means that, I checked it, it's a state of something is not with energy. Do you, and all of us, have you ever feel that you know so much and it's not reflected in the energy that is in your relationship with the Lord? It's part of lethargy. You are lethargic somewhere. By the time you now move into your personal walk with God, it's not as exciting. Huh? Church can be exciting, but personal fellowship is not exciting. Yes, meaning, of course, you have excitement when you come into God's corporate presence. You enjoy corporate presence. You're excited. But when you now go back to your personal walk with God, your time of prayer is never exciting. So you don't look up to it. Now, so it's possible that, I'm sorry to use this, I may be looking forward to going to convention. But I'm not looking forward to praying. You don't get what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to going to a meeting. I want to go to Image and Glory Conference. I want to come for School of Christ, Word Majadi. And that's powerful. That's a corporate anointing, corporate gathering of saints. But do you look forward to praying? So imagine that you are getting excited to sleep in the night, but you are looking forward to waking up and praying in the morning. Because why are you looking for it? It is sweet. Or you are looking forward to reading your Bible. Like maybe you just want to quickly get home, take your shower, eat, and then you want to go and have your study time. And you are looking forward to that. The way I'm talking, as if, Pastor, this one is another dimension. It has to be like that. That is why we are teaching this thing. It has to be like that. That you are looking forward. That you are looking forward. You know, last night, let me close with this. There was a point in time, you know, watch TV and all that. And when we finished watching TV, I just told my wife, I'm going upstairs. I said, why not? I said, I'm going upstairs. I said, I began a study. I want to go and finish. Immediately, I rushed, ran to home, sat down, and I was studying. She saw me writing and studying. I was looking forward to it. So what I was doing downstairs, I was looking forward to finishing. Because I needed to go and finish, continue what I was doing that I did over a period of hours. You should be looking forward to your personal time of fellowship with the Lord. Like you do that for corporate meetings. Some don't even look forward to having corporate meetings. You don't. Church is never exciting. It's like they are forcing you to come to church. I can bet you that will be the state of your personal walk with God. I think it's even a good sign when you want to fellowship with. You know, David said, "I was glad when they said to me." Yes, sir. That is a very good sign. But now that thing has now, you see, because what we should come and do in the corporate assembly is to come and light up our candles. Everybody, there's a corporate fire. So everybody brings his own candle. He will light it up and now take it back to his own personal walk with God. So that your personal walk with God, the altar must be burning.
Amen.
Full of fellowship, encounter. If it's burning, you know what will be happening to you regularly? Eh? The Lord will tell you something. I'll come and teach it on Tuesday. The Lord will tell you something. I'll come and open it on Thursday. You'll be so excited. Ah, this is what the Lord was trying to teach me in my... Oh, God! Because you now find out that you'll be having a lot of confirmation in doctrine, in understanding, in experience, because that your place of personal fellowship with the Lord is full of life and it's exciting. I said we have come into a new season.
Amen.
This year, the Lord is going to move you to a new level.
Amen.
I said this year, the Lord will move you to a new level.
Amen.
Your walk with him will be powerful.
Amen.
It will be refreshing.
Amen.
It will be strong.
Amen.
It will be full of life. Amen. In Jesus' name.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.